Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. This is Friday, June 27th, 2014. With me today, I have the wonderful Kelly Gaumont. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, I'm feeling very observatorial today. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm not observatorial, but I'm looking forward to being dancetorial. Going to a street fair later today. Yeah.
Ooh.
Also have the lovely Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
Oh, I'm totally depressed.
I knew it was going to happen one of these days. And I think the only way to cope with that is, hey, great to hear it. So,
thank you.
Yeah. Anyhow, speaking of depressed, topics for the for today, apparently Apple is doomed. Doomed, I say.
And, oh, wait, I'll say it. Doomed!
Ah, thank you. That was wonderful. I can't wait to hear that as someone's ringtone. Yeah. Okay, so doomed, and Brian, you went ahead and put together the shopping list of who is saying that Apple is doomed, but I am totally exaggerating, because what they're really saying is that the iWatch is doomed.
Yeah, so I was thinking to myself, my friend Rocco Pandolo over at the street had done his piece about how, quote-unquote, Apple's smartwatch will probably fail. And then I read this piece by John Markman over at Forbes, who is essentially saying the same thing. And it struck me that I really wanted a list of all the folks who were predicting failure for the iWatch before it's announced or shown. And then I realized, who better to keep such a list than me?
I'm totally with you. You are – it's like the universe spun to this point just for you.
Yeah, definitely lists. Definitely. I like lists. Definitely lists. Like to put things in lists.
Very numbered lists.
There's nine people in this list. They all said the iWatch would fail.
They like Wapner.
Yeah.
You know, and people wonder why I drink. But anyhow, continue.
I know there's more out there too. So I started off with nine. I know there's more out there. I'm actually counting on our readers and listeners to help find more. But there are folks. And don't get me wrong. If Apple's iWatch proves to be a failure, which I believe that will not be the case, but if it proves to be a failure, this will be less of a hall of fail and more like the hall of fame for the people who got it right.
That's true. Yeah, but I'm thinking that it's going to get to stay a hall of fail. And I'm not saying that as someone that really likes using Apple products, and I clearly do. I mean, look what I do for a living, and anyone that looks at my desk will think it's an Apple showroom. I'm saying that the iWatch will succeed because Apple has been working very hard on whatever it is that they're going to bring out, and they have amassed quite a dream team of people to make sure that they get whatever it is that they do right.
It's true. It is very true. And one of the interesting aspects of this list so far is that all nine of these folks are thinking completely inside the box. Apple smartwatch is going to fail because smartwatches always fail. Apple smartwatch is going to fail because watches, mechanical watches are cool. That actually was only one person. Smartwatches are dumb and they're stupid and no one wants to wear these things. And the smartwatch is a solution in search of a problem. I mean, just on and on and on. There are all these folks who were thinking of this device in terms of what everybody else has done. And yet the one thing that we have learned about Apple, when they enter a new product category, they don't do anything like anyone else has done.
Exactly. And we have a well-proven track record to show that, because we have the iPod, we have, iTunes, we have the iPhone, and we have the iPad.
Yeah, in each one of those cases, Apple brought to market a product that, frankly, thought, I guess the product didn't think differently, but Apple was thinking differently about a product category or about a product need. You know, remember the iPad was designed to serve the same function that netbooks were serving. Apple didn't bring the iPad out to remake the tablet market. Apple brought the iPad out to reshape the PC market in as a whole, and then the netbook market in particular. And in the case of the iPhone, obviously no one had done anything like the iPhone before the iPhone came out. And the same thing with the iPod. You know, each time we have one of these new products, Apple is doing stuff differently. And yet the people who were proclaiming doom and gloom for Apple's iWatch before it's announced are all thinking of that device in terms of what everyone else has already done. It doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. And yet this happens all the time. I mean, this is exactly what analysts and journalists do just all the time. They see a market and they don't think beyond the boundaries of whatever that is.
Right.
Well, whatever they are right now.
Yes.
Remember, wasn't it, I hope I get this right, Slashdot, I think it was, the official reaction to the iPod when the iPod was first released was like, no wireless and less space than a Nomad, lame. And here we are.
And we're a Slashdot. I'm not necessarily saying that if they had embraced the iPod, right, they would still be a big deal.
But look how things change over time.
But I'm implying it.
And the other thing that is interesting to me about this is the definition of failure that some of these people are using. Because I want to know how – because I've seen numbers like this, because they do this sort of every year with the new iPhone that will inevitably fail. They're only going to sell 40 million. And, you know, that's not a success.
Well, there's a little bit of reason behind that. And that little tiny bit of reason is that people are wanting to judge a new product from Apple on whether or not it can move the needle. And at this point, Apple is so big, anything that would move the needle on revenues has to be insanely big. And I think that's the source of that weird thing. But you're talking about the bet with Rocco that I made.
Well, I'm talking about in general, because we see this from analysts all the time when they sound the bell of doom, that the bell of doom to me, you know, the numbers that they talk about, like if it only sells this many millions, it's a failure, is surprising to me, because if I made anything that sold a million, let alone 2 million or 5 million or 10 millions to rub together, I would probably faint from the sheer unbelievableness of the fact that I made something that sold a million anythings. So the fact that Apple can sell 10 million of something that's considered a failure blows my mind.
Yeah, but the market doesn't value you at $550 billion. I mean, I do. I know that you're worth half a trillion dollars, but I mean, you know, there's a world of difference between Apple releasing a new product that does a million units is at this point a why bother in every conceivable fashion. And keep in mind, we know just from the hires that Apple has made for this product, that the company has invested a lot of money.
Yes, let alone they just did another hire. A guy from Atlas. So those poor guys, they haven't even come to market yet, and they just lost their senior software engineer
already. Acquihire, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be a bummer for them. Should be good for Apple. Of course, you know, the interesting thing for him is that there is almost no chance that anything he's working on now is going to be in the device that's released this fall.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, this new guy, Alex, and I just forgot his last name. I think it's Sai.
Sai? Sai? H-S-I-E-H.
Yes, that's the guy. Yeah, whatever he's working on is either the next product or the next version of whatever hasn't even been released yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, we have another topic that I wanted to hit as long as we're on the Apple doom and gloom thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly, you just found this right before we started to record. And this is mm-hmm. that Apple is killing Aperture.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's so here's the thing is there's a couple of things about it. First of all, this is a story I saw on The Loop from just about an hour ago. And it's Jim saying Apple told me, like, it's an official statement from them that there will no longer be development on Aperture. This isn't a rumor. This isn't a what if someday thing. This is the real deal. They told Jim directly. Somebody at Apple looked him in the eye and said, "We've old yellered Aperture," and that's a bummer. For me, it's a bummer only because I'm finally at the point in iPhoto because I basically just use it to track all of my iPhone pictures. I'm basically at the point where I was just on the verge of maybe it's time to make the leap to Aperture. I'm glad I waited. But the thing about it that I wonder about is that the Photos app, they said the reason that Aperture is going to go away is because of the Photos app, which we saw a light demo of at WWDC, which is iOS and Mac, I thought. The link in the piece over at The Loop is to the iOS page about Photos. And that's fine, but I know, most people I know who are doing photo editing aren't necessarily doing it in Aperture. They're doing it in something else. But I've seen Apple take stuff out of existing programs that they make. I've never seen Apple kill a program. Like, you know, people who are users of Final Cut 10 may disagree with me that Apple killed Final Cut, but they did assure Jim that Logic Pro is continuing development. Final Cut Pro is still a thing. Those aren't things to be worried about. Apparently, it's just if you're a photographer, Apple's really not interested. And maybe that's because way more people are using Lightroom. I don't know.
But so the reality is that Photos will either have the features that the professional features that Aperture has, or it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we don't know. So right. Apple is either kissing off the pro photography market and telling them to go to Adobe, or they're not.
Right.
It's a pretty binary thing, and unfortunately, we don't know. I have been using Aperture for years. I love Aperture. I think it's fantastic. I'm really bummed.
I'm bummed too. I never started using Aperture, but that's only because I was actually gun shy because I couldn't figure out if it was going to be Aperture or Lightroom that became the dominant player. And well, now I know. So I guess if I want to move beyond iPhoto, I can now wait and see what happens with Photos. And if I don't like it, then I become a Lightroom user.
Which really stinks because, Adobe.
Well, and the thing is, it surprises me that that's Apple's stance on photography.
But we don't know that this is their stance, though. Let's make that clear.
Well,
because it is Aperture a binary away. Thing,
right? They did take Aperture away, or they are in the process of taking Aperture away, and so unless Photos, and this is the thing, is like lots of people are getting worked up, and there's going to be a lot of hand waving today. So, stay off Twitter, kids. There's going to be a lot of hand, but we don't know yet. Like, there's a huge question mark here. And that's why I'm only sort of worried right now, because I don't know. There's a whole lot of this that we need to wait and find out about, because we saw a little bit of Photos at the keynote, and that was it.
Okay, so what we need to do right now is mourn, because we're losing Aperture. But
yes, one way or another, it is going away.
Right. And then when we all finally get to play with Photos, then we're going to loop back to this. We will reconvene and then offer up more thoughts on why we think Aperture is gone. How's that sound?
A deal.
Awesome.
And fantastic.
This doesn't involve any of us having to make bets or Well, the bottom line is when we make bets, I lose money. So that's why we're not actually betting here. Okay. On that happy note, I think we have hit an awesome wrap-up point. So, Kelly, thank you for joining me today.
Anytime, Jeff.
And, Brian, thank you for joining me. And you sound a little less depressed.
I am.
That's excellent. Have a great weekend, everyone.